Before we know anything about ourself, we know that I am. In other words, the knowledge I am, or the awareness of being, is our primary experience of ourself. Everything else we know about ourself is added to this fundamental awareness of being. The knowledge I am, or the awareness of being, is the ever-present, unchanging aspect of ourself. Everything else we know about ourself is a temporary qualification of our ever-present, unchanging being. This mixture of our ever-present, unchanging being with the temporary qualities of experience makes for the person, the separate self that we feel ourselves to be. Everybody feels that they are always changing, and yet at the same time they are essentially always the same person. The reason we feel we are always the same person, that we are the same person now as we were yesterday or last year or 10 years ago or when we were a 3-year-old child, is because we are always the same being. The reason we feel we're always changing is because we have allowed our being to become mixed with the changing qualities of experience. But the primary sense of self that each of us has is derived from this primary awareness of being. Everybody is aware of their being all the time. Not just those of us that are interested in these matters, but all 8 billion of us. We are all aware of our being all the time. But in almost all cases, our awareness of being is mixed with the content of experience. So although everybody knows their being, not everybody knows their being clearly as it essentially is. So-called enlightenment or awakening is simply the recognition of the nature of being before it is qualified by experience. Each of us is now having the experience of being. It's the most intimate, simple, obvious experience there is. Although we may have overlooked it due to our fascination with the content of experience, just bring your awareness back from the content of experience to yourself, being. Don't try to be aware of being in subject-object relationship. That's not possible. Just relax the focus of attention from its content and come back to yourself. Abide in being as being. Being is, it is what we are, not what we do. It cannot be practiced. It does not need to be maintained by effort. Even to say abide in being or abide as being is really to say too much. Does being need to be told to abide as itself? Of course not. The suggestion to abide in being or as being is said to the person that we seem to be. The amalgam of being plus the content of experience. To that one, it is said, disentangle yourself from the content of experience. Go back to yourself. So even the suggestion, abide in being or abide as being, is a concession, albeit a very subtle one, to the separate self that we seem to be. The being that we essentially are needs no such suggestion. It is already being itself eternally. The very highest teachings make little or no such concession to the separate self that we seem to be. Most teachings start at the bottom of the mountain and work their way up to the top. Here, we start on top of the mountain and only go down if we need to. And on top of the mountain, it is silent. On top of the mountain, there is just the shining of being, all alone. Pristine, immaculate, indivisible, ageless, birthless, deathless. The white radiance of eternity, not yet colored by the content of experience. For the devotees and mystics amongst us, this shining of being is God's presence. Not God's presence shining in us. There is no us for God's presence either to shine in or not to shine in. There is just the shining of being, just God's presence. Sometimes clothed in human experience, and seeming, as a result, to become a human being, but never actually becoming so, never ceasing to be the pure shining of being.
No matter how deeply I sink into loving awareness, I still find sensing there. Hearing doesn't go away. Seeing doesn't go away. Sensing doesn't go away. There's no hearing something. But there's sensing, hearing, seeing. And those, that pure sensing is the avenue to integrate into everyday experience. And that has been a lot of what's kind of opened for me over the last few months in particular, largely thanks to your guidance. And I should say, too, I'm so grateful to you, too, for constantly impressing on all of us that we have to trust our direct experience rather than the teaching or the teacher. And I do. So, do you have a response?
It's not necessary for sensing and perceiving to go away. All that's necessary, and you're obviously doing this already, is to understand and experience that they are suffused with being. When we say, I am lonely, can you find any part of the loneliness that is not suffused with I am?
No.
If we say, I am deeply depressed, there's no part of the deep depression that is not suffused with the I am. In other words, suffused with being. So it's, we can either turn away from the emotion, the depression, the loneliness, and go directly to the I am, or we go into the loneliness or the depression, the feeling, the sensing, the perceiving, whatever it is, and you find the I am there.
Yes, yes. And it's funny what I was just talking to Marco about. The prayer thing isn't what resonates most with me either. And I was trying to think of, you know, the knowing, you know, all the words that we use, the knowing, the being aware, the love. I think what resonates most with me is a savoring, kind of in the same sense as Jean Klein's listening.
Yes, and what are you savoring? You're savoring the taste of the experience. And what do all experiences taste of?
I am.
That's what you have to savor.
That's
the only thing to savor, because that's really all that's there. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't. So we shouldn't make this clear distinction between the Vedantic and Tantric approaches, which is why I don't refer to them as explicitly as I did before.
I guess I have a fear that there is a kind of dualism that can slip in very easily when we separate the naked being of God from all the vestments.
We only do that to draw attention to God's being. But we always, almost always, come back, like we did at the end of the meditation today, we first discover God's being in ourself through the portal I am, because the knowledge is I am is, it's the full moon in the painting, it's the only part of the painting that is not colored in paint, so it gives us direct access to God's being. So the only experience where we have direct, unmediated access to reality is through the knowledge I am. So that's why we go there first, to recognize the nature of being. Why is it necessary to recognize the nature of being? Because almost everybody believes and feels that being is personal and limited. If we feel that being is personal and limited, then however far we go out into the world, we will never discover its reality. That's why scientists still haven't discovered the nature of reality, because they believe that their self is personal and limited. And their knowledge of the universe will always appear in conformity with that belief. That's why sooner or later a scientist has to become a mystic. A scientist has to discover who they really are before they can know what the world really is. But having discovered who we really are, then we can go back to the world and discover that the amness of ourself is the isness of all things. So going into ourself, discovering the amness of ourself, that's the Vedantic approach. Going back out into the world to discovering that the isness of all things is the same as the amness of ourself, that's the Tantric approach. But even Tantrics go to their self first. They go to the nature of awareness first.
But the nature of awareness by itself feels conceptual to me. When I go into that pure, you know, just the focus on the pure awareness, the pure sensing is always there. It's not separate from...
If I were to ask you the question now, are you aware? What would you say? I know you've heard it before, but pretend you never heard it. I ask you the question now, are you aware? What
yes.
do you say?
Yes.
To what experience do you refer? You've just told us that you refer to a concept. You said referring to awareness is conceptual. Did you, when I asked you the question, are you aware, did you refer to a concept and then reply yes? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. You yeah. you referred to the fact of being aware. That is not conceptual.
Yeah.
It okay. is the most evident element of your experience.
Yeah, and it's certainly where, I mean, that's where you helped guide me a couple of years ago. Exactly there.
To take the experience of sensing. If you don't like going to pure awareness, take the experience of sensing now. You are sensing now your legs on the chair, your hand on the mic, mm-hmm. the temperature of the air on your skin. If you sensing is real. It's a real experience, yes? Mm-hmm. Completely real
yeah.
to you. So there's and if you are experiencing sensing, and you are, you must be experiencing its reality. It's like if you're watching a movie, if you're seeing a landscape on the screen, it may look like a landscape. You may not know that it's a screen. You may think it's a landscape, but even if you think it's a landscape, you are experiencing the screen. You can't see a landscape. You can't see a movie without seeing the screen. Yeah? It's just an analogy.
Yeah. I'm
still... So if you're experiencing sensing,
yeah.
which you are, you must be experiencing what it really is, what is there.
Mm.
Yeah, now touch sensing now.
Yeah.
Describe yeah. the sensing is made out of something. Something is there.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Don't say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You are experiencing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it? Try to give it a name. In your language, what would you call it?
Radiance.
Tell us about that alive, vibrating, alive.
Yeah.
This alive, vibrating radiance. Tell us about it.
It's only here.
Yeah.
It's only now.
Okay. Yes. And okay, yeah, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that is vibrating?
Itself, the I am.
Okay, there you are. You've gone back to the I am. You're saying that alive, vibrating radiance, if it's vibrating, there's something there that is vibrating. When a guitar string vibrates, it's the guitar string that's vibrating. When the surface of the lake shimmers, it's the water that is shimmering. So when you say this alive, vibrating radiance, you haven't gone all the way back yet. What is it that is vibrating? You went there. You said, the I am. That's it. You suddenly became a Vedantin. Try to forget, and I'm sorry, I know I'm just reinforcing it. Try to forget the distinction between the Vedantic and Tantric approaches. They're just pedagogical tools that are valid. But at some stage, the closer we get to reality, the less distinction there is between these two approaches. They're the same. Just as the three paths, the path of knowledge, the path of devotion, and the path of, let's call it the path of perception or the path of beauty, that correspond to the three faculties of thinking, feeling, and perceiving, they're the same path.